page in the Red Book. Angels, you have heard of that.
Pray and give thanks to God. gifts, giving us a great gift of a few moments to simply sit and enjoy and breathe. We come together in the midst of a busy season. Are you busy yet? A little bit. We gather together this morning to breathe together and to together breathe in the life that God gives us, to allow ourselves to hear the beat of God's heart and to remember the blessings and the lessons that this season gives us. We have a great gift to receive this morning, the great gift of the best Christmas pageant ever is about to begin. Can you feel the joyful anticipation? Can you remember what it was like when you were a little one and you were forced? I mean, when you were in do you remember how it felt? You were so proud that you got to be a part of something so beautiful, but also it was a little nerve-wracking, wasn't it? Isn't it? So I invite you to breathe in the spirit of joyful anticipation and breathe out some great joy. And maybe if you can't remember, just breathe some great joy that you're not going to be up here. But help and support and encourage the people who will be. When you are not filled with worry or with busyness, then the great joy swoops into its place. And that is what we celebrate and remember today. I invite our little ones, I think our chicos are going to help us. Do you remember what we're going to do now? We're going to light the Advent candle. So do you want to try to light it, Caitlin? You feeling okay? Okay, so how many candles are we going to light today? We're going to light three. There will be three people that can light a candle. Do you remember what we lit the candles for? Do you remember? For love. For hope. And today we're lighting one for joy. Okay, here's a... We're lighting a candle. Okay, you can light the one. That one's good. Oh, you're doing it. Oh, good job. And there's Greg. And then Sam, you want to light the third one? Okay, you guys, Charlotte, you can light this one. Oh, you're so excited. You're doing such a great job. Share with one another, share with the people around. in for a treat. You will feel the joy. And on days like this, when the little ones stand up here, my joy sometimes makes my eyes cry a little bit. And that's how joy is. We maybe have little tears of joy. And we take joy anyway. So I invite you to encourage one another and to celebrate God all day. And you enjoy God. Make it as clear as you can to the people who are around you that you are on their side. Work with the people around you, not against them. Help them see that God is coming at any minute. God can show up, even right now. So don't fret or worry. Pray. And let your petitions and praises shape your worries and your prayers, letting God know your heart. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and will settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Welcome to the 2018 Christmas program. We hope you enjoy it. One little announcement, we will be having treats afterwards, so be sure to come down. They're sponsored by Kids Quest. And also, the program's a little different this year. It's kind of a potpourri of some music and some readings and poems and things like that. So we hope you enjoy it. Are there any announcements that anybody needs to make today? Okay.
There are 6 small poinsettias in the office to go to shut-ins with a list and cards to go along with them. And if you can help out, please do take a poinsettia and check off who you're going to bring it to. It should be done this week. Thank you for your help.
I noticed it wasn't in the bulletin, but Ad Council is meeting on Wednesday. So those of us who are on Ad Council, remember to be on 5.
Remember last week we had our bake sale, the Kids Quest sponsored bake sale, and I'm really happy to announce we made $360, and I think that is just awesome. We thank each and every one of you who participated and who bought goodies at our sale, and now we're going to be able to buy even more animals than we thought for the Heifer Project, and I think there's a little more money coming in too yet. So. Okay, and we have a table out there, too, where we still have a few goodies that you can purchase or donate to. And I think there's some ladies who are also going to be giving a little bit toward this. So we're really, really thankful for each of you. Yours is just incredible, people. We thank you from the bottoms of our heart.
Trustees meeting after church today in Matheson.
Finances meeting too. In the classroom. Anybody else? Okay, we'll get it started. We're going to start off with the legend of the candy cane.
Stranger rode into town. He stopped his horse in front of a lonely storefront. The windows were boarded shut and the door was locked fast. But the man looked at his smile and said, "It will do." All through the gray short days and the long dark nights of November, the man worked. The townspeople could hear the faint pan-pan of his hammer and the swish-swish-swish of his saw. He could smell the sweet, clean scent of new lumber and the deep, oily smell of new paint. But no one knew who the man was or what he was doing. The mayor hoped he was a doctor to heal his illness. The young wives hoped he was a tailor to make beautiful dresses. farmers told he was a traitor to exchange the grain for goods. But the children had the strongest, deepest wish of all, a wish they did not tell the parents, a deep, quiet, secret wish that none of them said aloud. No one spoke to the man, no one asked if he needed help. They just waited and watched and wondered and wished. But one small girl watched and wondered, waited and wished longer than she could stand. And one snowy day, she knocked at the stranger's door. "Hello," she said. "My name's Lucy. Do you need some help?" The man smiled warmly and nodded. Then he opened the door and Lucy stepped inside. A long counter ran down the side of the room. Bare shelves filled the opposite walls. In the back were dozens and dozens of barrels and crates. "Could you help me unpack?" the man asked.
Lucy's heart sank at the sight of all the boxes. What if they were only barrels of nails and bags of flowers? But she removed her dripping boots and hung her coat on a peg. On stockinged feet, she crossed the rough wooden floor and knelt beside the crate. "Please open it," the man urged. Slowly, Lucy put her hand into the box and pulled out an object wrapped in tissue. Round and heavy, it almost slipped through her fingers. Lucy trembled a little as she unwrapped it. It was a glass jar. Lucy gave the man a puzzled look. "Go on," his nod said. So she unpacked another glass jar, and another, until she was completely surrounded by jars of all shapes and sizes. Tall and thin, round and squat, jars of lids and jars of them. "Now," the man said, "for something to put inside." He pulled over a huge crate stamped with a strange word. As Lucy unpacked, her eyes lit up. It was candy, her favorite candy, gumdrops. "Try some," the man said. She popped one in her mouth. Now she could hardly unwrap fast enough. Peppermint sticks, taffy, lollipops, chewing gum. Wide-eyed, she looked at the man. "You wished," Lucy said. "Yes, I know," said the man. "And here it is. Welcome to Sonneman's Candy Store. I am John Sonneman."
Soon, the small store was filled with candies gleaming in their glass jars, raspberry suckers, and tiny lemon drops, brightly colored jawbreakers, and long tangles of licorice. Pink and white peppermints for church and butterscotch balls for company. Then in the very last crate was a candy Lucy has never seen before. A red and white striped candy stick with a fruit gum on them. "What is this?" Lucy asked. "This," Mr. Sonneman explained, "is a candy cane. It is a very special Christmas candy." "Why?" Lucy asked. "Tell me," Mr. Sonneman said. "What letter does it look like?" Lucy took the candy cane and turned it in her hand. "J," she said. "Yes," Mr. Sonneman smiled. "J for Jesus, who was born on Christmas Day."
"Now, turn it over. What does it remind you of?" Lucy turned the candy in her hand. She peered down intently. "I know," she finally said. "It's like a shepherd's staff." "Who were the first to find out about Jesus' birth?" Mr. Sonneman asked. "Shepherds in the field," Lucy answered, "watching over their flocks by night." "But Mr. Sonneman, what are the stripes for?" Lucy asked. The man's eyes grew sad. "The prophet Isaiah said, 'By his stripes we are healed.' Before he died on the cross, Jesus was whipped. He bled terribly. The red reminds us of his suffering and his blood. But then," Mr. Sonneman continued, "the candy is white as well. When we give our lives to Jesus, his blood washes away our sins, making us white and as pure as snow." "That," he said, "is the story of the candy cane." "Is it a secret?" Lucy asked. Mr. Sonneman looked at her for a long moment. "It's a story that needs to be told," he said. "Will you help me share it?" It was now the depths of December. The town was whipped round by blizzard winds. For days, the sun hid itself. But every morning, Mr. Sonneman and Lucy ventured out. They wore heavy woolen coats and bright hand-knit scarves, and in their stiff, mittened fingers, they each held a bag. They went to every house in town. They traveled to every farm in the country. They knocked on every door. In every home, they told a story. They left a small gift, and they gave an invitation.
On the afternoon of Christmas Eve, the sun finally broke through the clouds, and Sonneman's candy store officially opened. Mayor came, feeling better than he felt in days. The young wives came dressed in beautiful smiles. The farmers came eager to trade grain for their Christmas gifts. The children ran in dizzy circles. Yes, their wish had come true. Yes, they had come to share in the opening of the candy store. But they shared something more, something bigger, something better. On that Christmas Eve, they shared the story of the candy cane. They told of the miracle of Christ's birth, the misery of his death, and the mercy of his love.
The traditional candy cane was born over 350 years ago, when mothers used white sugar sticks as pacifiers for their babies. Around 1670, the choir master of Cologne Cathedral in Cologne, Germany, bent the sticks into canes to represent a shepherd's staff. He then used white candy canes to keep the attention of small children during the long nativity services. The use of candy canes during the Christmas service spread throughout Europe. In Northern Europe, sugar canes decorated with sugar roses were used to brighten the home at Christmas time. In the mid-1800s, the candy cane arrived in the United States when a German-Swedish immigrant in Hooster, Ohio, decorated the spruce tree, paper ornaments, and sugar canes. The red stripes were added to the candy cane at the turn of the century, when peppermint and winter tea were added and became the traditional flavors for the candy cane. Some sources say that a candy maker in Indiana developed the candy cane as a witness of Christ's love, but we may never know the full history of the candy cane. We can share it with the truth behind its symbol, the truth of Christ's birth, and the redemption and the gift of his love. And I'll now share with you candy canes to help you remember the story.
Thank you. tomorrow morning? I can't wait. I can't wait to open up the presents and see what's been given to me.
Is that all you can think about?
Presents?
Don't you know the true meaning of Christmas? Don't you know that we really are celebrating the birth of Jesus?
Well, of course I know that we're celebrating. We're celebrating a very special gift.
Well, I guess that's true. Jesus is our gift from God. Every year we remember on Christmas Day that Jesus was born, and that Jesus continues to be our gift. God's gift of love through Jesus Christ continues to be with us, and I guess that's like a present in a way.
Exactly. I can't wait to see what presents have been given to me.
But isn't Jesus more important than presents?
Well, you'll see. I think we should open a present early. Don't you? Open up. Let's see what's in there.
Thank you.
joy one of your favorite gifts? Joy is the gift of happiness that God gives us. Joy is what causes us to sing when we are happy, or to laugh when we're with friends, or to smile when we're with people we love. God gives us joy just because we are God's children.
All right, but it's not Christmas yet, so we can only open one more gift. Sam, I think you got it. Can you open it?
Good thing, because this is the last gift. This really is the greatest gift. God gave us love so that we would love each other. God gave us so much love that we would love each other and know that we are loved by God. And God gave us Jesus to show how much God loves us. Jesus teaches us how we should love God and how we should love one another.
So I guess we are celebrating by opening the gifts God has already given us.
That's right. These gifts are more important than any boxes we could open under our tree, because these are gifts that we are given every single day. We celebrate on Christmas because that's the day we celebrate Jesus being given to us. But really, every day is like Christmas because Jesus is still with us. All these gifts are given to us every day by God and by the people who love us. And we can give these gifts to others, too.
These are wonderful gifts. I think we should say a prayer of thanks to God for the gifts we are given today and tomorrow and every day through Jesus.
I've got my pacifier in, but I'm going to override it because we're going to pray. You are the gold. So we'll start off. We'll share our prayer together. Let us pray.
Lord, you reflect with thankful hearts on the wonder of your earth, the love you expressed when you left your glory to come to earth.
For your life was like a beacon, Lord, shining brightly in the night, filling the world with the radiance of the Father's glorious light.
And we too long to have inside your light for others to see, the beautiful reflection of your grace and the wonder of your
For as your life indwells inside our hearts, we can shine wherever we are and rise to take hold of each new day with your light ablaze in our hearts.
So rekindle the flame in the dead sword, so it will not flicker nor dim. Ignite us to the light of your love, so you will shine brightly within. Amen.
Amen. And I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. I invite you to give and receive. I invite you to give and receive our morning offering today.
invite you to join with me in blessing our giving and our time together. There are words printed in your bulletin and on the screen, pretty much. And I invite us to join together to pray, saying, may the gifts we give be used in every way to bring your compassion and grace to life.
About a week before Christmas, the family bought a new nativity scene. When they unpacked it, they found two figures of the baby Jesus. Someone must have packed this wrong, Andrew said. Counting out the figures, we have one Joseph, one Mary, three wise men, three shepherds, two lambs, a donkey, a cow, an angel, and two babies. Oh dear, I suppose some set down at the store is missing a baby Jesus because we have two. You two run back down to the store and tell the manager that we have an extra Jesus. Tell him to put a sign on the remaining boxes saying that if the set is missing a baby Jesus, to call 7126. Put on your warm coats. It's freezing cold out there. The manager of the store copied down the mother's message, and the next time they were in, they saw the cardboard sign that read, if you're missing baby Jesus, call 7126. All week long, they waited for someone to call. Surely, they thought, someone was missing, an important figurine. Each time the phone rang, the mother would say, I'll bet that's about Jesus. But it never was. Father tried to explain that there are thousands of these scattered over the country. A figurine could be missing from, say, Florida, Texas, or California. Those packing mistakes happen all the time. He suggested just put the extra Jesus back in the box and forget about it.
Put baby Jesus back in the box? What a terrible thing to do, said the children. Surely someone will call, said the mother. We'll just keep the two of them together in the manger until someone calls. When no call had come by 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, Mother insisted that Father just run down to the store to see if there were any sets left. You can see them right through the window over on the counter, she said. If they're all gone, I'll know someone is bound to call tonight. Run down to the store, Father thundered. It's 15 below out there. Oh, Daddy, we'll go with you. Tommy and Mary began to put on their coats. Father gave a long sigh and headed for the front closet. I can't believe I'm doing this, he muttered. Tommy and Mary ran ahead as Father reluctantly walked out in the cold. Mary got to the store first and pressed her nose up to the store window. They're all gone, Daddy, she shouted. Every set must be sold. Hooray, said Tommy. The mystery will now be solved tonight.
Father heard the news still a half block away and immediately turned on his heel and headed back home. When they got back into the house, they noticed that Mother was gone, and so was the extra baby Jesus figurine. Someone must have called, and she went out to deliver the figurine, my father reasoned, pulling off his boots. You kids, get ready for bed while I wrap Mother's present. Then the phone rang. Father yelled, answer the phone and tell him we found a home for Jesus. But it was Mother calling with instructions for us to come to 205 Chestnut Street immediately and bring 3 blankets, a box of cookies, and some milk. Now what has she gotten us into? My father groaned as we bundled up again. 205 Chestnut? Why, that's way across town. Wrap that milk up good in the blankets or we'll turn to ice before we get there. Why can't we all just get on with Christmas? It's probably 20 below out there now, and the wind is picking up. Of all the crazy things to do on a night like this. When they got to the house at 205 Chestnut Street, it was the darkest one on the block. Only one tiny light burned in the living room, and the moment we set foot on the porch steps, my mother opened the door and shouted, they're here! Oh, thank goodness you got here, Ray! You kids, take those blankets into the living room and wrap up the little ones on the couch. I'll take the milk and cookies. Would you mind telling me what is going on here, Ethel? My father asked. We've just walked through below zero weather with the wind in our faces all the way.
Never mind that all now, right about now, Mother
spouse and this young mother is so upset she doesn't know what to do. Her husband walked out on her, and these poor little children will have a very bleak Christmas, so don't you complain. I told her you could fix that oil furnace as soon as you got here. My mother started off to the kitchen to warm the milk, while my brother and I wrapped up the five little kids who were huddled together on the couch. The children's mother explained to my father that her husband had run off, taking bedding, clothing, and almost every piece of furniture. And she had been doing all right up until the furnace broke down. I've been doing washing and ironing for people and clothing and cleaning the five and dime. When I saw your number every day there on those boxes on the counter, when the furnace went out, that number just kept going through my mind, 7162, 7162. It said on the box that if a person was missing Jesus, they should call you. That's how I knew you were good Christian people, willing to help folks. I figured that you would maybe help me too. So I stopped at the grocery store tonight and I called on your missus. I'm not missing Jesus because I sure love the Lord, but I am missing you. I have no money to fix the furnace. Okay, said Father. You've come to the right place. Now let's see. You've got a little oil burner over there in the dining room. Shouldn't be too hard to fix. Probably just a clogged screw. I'll look it over, see what it needs.
Mother came into the living room carrying a plate of cookies and warm milk. As she set the cups down on the coffee table, I noticed the figure of baby Jesus lying in the center of the table. It was the only sign of Christmas in the house. The children stared wide-eyed with wonder at the plate of cookies my mother set before them. Father finally got the oil burner working, but said, "You need more oil. I'll make a few calls tonight and get some oil." "Yes, sir, you came to the right place," Father grinned. On the way home, Father did not complain about the cold weather and had barely set foot inside the door when he was on the phone. "Ed, hey, how are you, Ed?" "Yeah, Merry Christmas to you." "So, yeah, we kind of have an unusual situation here." "Yeah, I know you got that pickup truck, right? Do you still have some of that oil in the barrel on your truck?" "You do?" By this time, the rest of the family were pulling clothes out of their closets and toys off of their shelves. It was long after their bedtime when they were wrapping gifts. The pickup came. On it were chairs, three lamps, blankets, and gifts. Even though it was 30 below, Father led them right along in the back of the truck. No one ever did call about the missing figure in the nativity scene. But as I grow older, I realize it wasn't a packing mistake at all. Jesus saves. That's what he does.
Christ, the wonder of his lowly birth brings meaning to our lives. There really is no other reason we celebrate this day, the birth of God's precious Son and the life he willingly gave.
But so much seems to distract us in the busyness of our lives. We lose our focus in all the happenings, not knowing we leave out Christ.
We lose sight of the true meaning as we endlessly rush about trying to find that perfect gift. It seems to cloud our Savior out.
We need to stop and reflect a while, remembering our precious Lord, his birth, his life, and sacrifice, and all that he stands for.
For though the world may celebrate, it seems, though, for other reasons. Let's keep in mind that Jesus Christ is the true meaning of the season.
Thank you.
verses 1 through 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This shall be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger."
Just as they had been told.